96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. TMI, TMI. We've heard that phrase so many times when it comes to too much information. And while it may seem funny, the reality is that too many people overshare. They share about money, love life, personal drama, and much, much more. So how do you know how much is too much, and when might it be a problem? Well, my guests are Arsha Jones, entrepreneur and social media guru, and Sam Sanders, a human resources expert. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM, as soon as I mentioned Arsha's name, she bent to her phone and started sharing. I saw that. So you can laugh. Go ahead, because I caught you. Caught you out of the side of my eye. That's unbelievable. Good. Incredible. Yeah. And to our listeners tonight, you are more than welcome to give us a call and share your experiences with people oversharing, whether it's at work, whether it's with your family, with your friends, whatever it's about, and we'll just keep it between us. How's that? Thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it. So,
pleasure.
You know, a lot of folks are pretty private, but it just seems to me in this day and age, Arsha, that a lot of people don't mind telling their business. What's it, particularly when it comes to, for example, social media? What's going on with that?
It's quite different than it used to be online, where you would share things with your friends. But now our circles and our reach has become so much bigger than it used to be. I was just telling that to Sam that I used to just only talk to my friends on social media, but now I've widened my circle with people that I many times have never met.
Right, you don't know who they are.
And so for me personally, I monitor what I say, how I say it, and what I post on social media just for that reason. You just never know. And I just come from a generation where you were careful about how much you share, mm-hmm. how much you share of your personal life. So I am very aware of what I share and what I don't share.
But are you surprised sometimes at what you do see? Sometimes I'm looking on Facebook and I'm thinking, clutch the pearls.
Yes.
What is going on?
I am shocked many times and a little appalled by how personal people get online. Like, I'm like, whose business is this?
Right.
Like, you know, and but there, I think that line of what's appropriate has been like pushed further than it ever has been before for the sake of wanting attention or wanting likes and views and comments. And people are kind of trading their personal lives for this attention that they need for attention. Like, I don't seek attention when I'm online. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to like my post or to comment on my threads for me to feel good about myself. So I don't feel a need to share. But some people do go online for that type of attention.
What about the workplace, Sam? I think that has often been the place where people establish relationships, particularly traditionally when people have worked in the same place for many, many years. Isn't it natural to share some, you know, personal things with your coworkers?
Sure. I think it is natural. What I've found is that people, employers have kind of almost legislated this rule of prohibiting employees from sharing compensation information for a number of reasons.
Talking about salaries, for example.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So it is often a tactic from an employer perspective to ensure that there's no cross pollinating of information. And so, however, I think what I've recognized is that the information is still shared, and people do find out about their colleagues' compensation. But often you do establish, because you spend so much time with your colleagues, that you establish solid friendships. And so you do feel a level of comfort. I do want to respond to something that Arsha said, that in our age of immediacy, I think people, this instant gratification and this need to overshare, be it social media or in the workplace, it's because maybe there's a lack of fulfillment in their personal life. And so in an effort or in a need to feel some level of like comfort or praise, yes, or support, I'm going to share what I make. Arsha made a very good point in our discussion earlier, that often people who are proud about what they make will often share openly. And if you're not so proud of what you make, your compensation, then you're probably less likely to share.
And I think one of the things that, here's a great example, when you're talking about, quote unquote, the workplace recently, of course, we know that in that the case of the a movie, All the Money in the World, where Mark Wahlberg was part of the reshoot. He got $1.5 million. And Michelle Williams, the actress, she received about $1,000 for the reshoot. And if it were not for the sharing of how much money he was making, and it's still up in the air as to how she got that information, but it really brought up a discussion about inequity when you overshare, the kind of trouble you can get into.
Sure. So one of the things that I like to bring into this discussion is there was an executive order issued in April of 2014 by former President Barack Obama, and this executive order set the stage for pay secrecy. And what it did is it removed the ability for employers to prohibit employees from discussing compensation. And so what this allows is, it, you know, if Arsha and I are working side by side and I can openly share how I'm compensated, and she recognizes, hey, I have similar background, experience, and education, and I'm paid differently, this now opens it's an open stage for a discussion to now go back to my employer and say, hey, I've done a little bit of research, i.e. talking to Arsha or Sam, and so I recognize that I am a little underpaid, yes, than what I should be. And so I think President Obama did make some strides in that way. However, our current chief administrator of our country has rolled back that executive order. And so now employers are allowed to prohibit employees from discussing compensation, which brings up a myriad of different concerns.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about oversharing, whether it's on the job, with your friends, with your family. Do you have an example of when perhaps you overshared with a friend or a family member or one of your colleagues at work, and how it became a problem, or perhaps even if someone has overshared with you? And what do you do when someone is oversharing and giving you the TMI, the too much information, and how you address that? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Arsha, I think that we have often seen over the past several years, we've seen the clinical psychologist, we've seen the love and hug guru saying, be transparent and, you know, speak your truth and talk about, you know, all that you are. Has that flooded into popular culture so much where you're starting to hear about every mole and every corn, as well as every broken heart or tryst? in social media?
Yes, especially when you're talking about people who are branding themselves online.
Yeah, how about that?
Because part of the job is being a content creator. And so as a content creator, you're constantly trying to find new ways to engage with your audience and kind of bring them into your story. And so, I mean, it's part of the game is that when you share more, more people become interested in you because they feel like you're a real person, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone who doesn't, you know. And in order to bring them in and potentially show them something or sell them something or promote something to them, you need to bring more people in to your story and get them to understand and like have a feeling about you. So whether it's they feel good, they're supportive, and that's the kind of community that you need to build. But I think that has trickled down to like regular, everyday, non-brand building people that they think that it's okay to do this. And I think a reasonable amount of sharing is fair with your friends and family, but it can easily cross the line. There's a thin line to when you should maybe just pull back a little bit and you know, keep your mouth closed.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, I like to cook, so I always post what I cook on yes. Instagram, and I may joke with people and connect with people who like to
yes.
cook. Also, news items. Yeah,
exactly.
Sharing that, probably the funniest thing that I ever shared recently several months ago was of my mom, you know, dancing at a Spin Garn alumni crab feast. You
okay.
know, and I paid, my mom's 75 years old, and, you know, but I paid for that. But, you know, she still throws stuff at me about that. But, you know, I think but beyond that, you know, it's difficult to see why, you know, some people like you, when you talk about, you know, branding, because you don't know where these people are going sometimes. From a business perspective, shouldn't that be focused? If, you know, or is it just, you know, you just kind of throw it out there and see what happens?
Sure. I think, you know, like I said, people share for a number of different reasons. And what I see is that in a society that we live in, kind of a microwave and a need to feel connected, this need of immediate gratification, people have this incessant need to share information that's extremely personal. And I do agree that especially when you work and you live in the day and age where, you know, you have blackmail and people use information against you, it can be used to either halt you from an opportunity or prevent you from walking the door altogether. And so in from a business perspective, for employees who are looking for potential opportunities, showcasing your salary information online is probably not what you want to do, because what it does is sets the stage for that new employer to say, this is what someone else thought you were worth, and so I can now adjust your pay or, you know, pitch a compensation that is maybe just a little below what the market value would say.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about oversharing, whether you're talking about your salary, your personal life, or anything. How much is too much? Sherman, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sherman. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my fiance, every time we discuss something, she discusses it with her girlfriend. I'm like, golly, there's something you just need to, you know, keep to yourself.
Wow. So, and that's interesting. What impact do you think that's going to have on, you know, whether or not she stays your fiance, Sherman?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's funny that the other day I said she just said something.
Oh, gosh, Sherman, I'm so sorry. You are breaking up. Give us a call back if you can, because I would like to hear more. I'd like for you to share with us if you could. So, Sherman, please give us a call back. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Real quick, and this is for you, Arsha. I'm going to throw the woman card in here for you. So, should Sherman be upset, or is that just what the ladies seem to do?
Oh, I got two answers.
Okay, real quick.
So first of all, I do believe that when you're in a relationship, it's not about just what you feel like you want to share. You really should run things by your partner because it's kind of just not about you anymore. So it doesn't matter if you feel comfortable sharing everything about your relationship online with your friends. It's whether that your spouse, partner, husband, wife, or whatever also shares that same belief. Mm-hmm. And if they do not, you must respect that they don't, and don't share anything that they don't want shared. I mean, as simple as that. Now, in terms of women...
That's a whole nother show. Let's talk about that on the other side. Watch that hand over there, young lady. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk to Shantae calling from Virginia, Eric calling from Virginia, and Terrell calling from D.C. TMI, oversharing, too much information. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in a moment. Back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about oversharing, whether it's on the job, with family, with friends. How much is too much, and when might it be a problem? My guests are Arsha Jones, entrepreneur and social media guru, and Sam Sanders. He's a human resources expert. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to Shantae. Shantae calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Shantae. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just saying, I do think people share too much information, especially when it comes to relationships. You know, some stuff just kind of keep to yourself because you share certain things, you are inviting people into your life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people want to say, oh, mind your business. I'm like, well, you made it my business before. So I think it's my right to know what's going on now.
Oh, wow. So after you've had that very first conversation, then you kind of come back for more juice.
Right. You welcome them into places they don't need to be.
Mm-hmm. But I think the other part of that is that you could, as we often see, you know, on social media, you end the sharing with asking for a friend. And then that way it kind of gets you out of the hole. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Shantae. I appreciate it. One of the other things about sharing, and I want to go back to the money piece, because it's one thing to share even inadvertently how much money you're making with your colleagues on the job. But what are kind of the downsides of sharing it with family and friends, particularly if you have a really healthy, you know, salary? Could that get you in trouble?
I have been to this in this scenario. People learn what you make, and what you have done is you've invited people to request loans or simply to donate to their whatever fund.
Yes.
If it's I'm buying a new car, if I'm, you know, looking for a new outfit for the weekend festival, whatever it is, you have now, you know, essentially requested people to ask you for money. However, I think at the same time, while you may have shared the information for the purpose of like maybe encouraging them, hey, this is, you know, we come from the same stock. This is, my struggle, and this is where I am now. And you could do it with all well intentions. I think also setting boundaries, being clear about, hey, you know, if you're asking me for a loan, know that you're also inviting me to ask you several levels of questions, which is, if I give you this $500 loan for your rent, how are you going to make next month's rent? What's your plan? Mm-hmm. You know, and so while I do think sharing does invite people to do to request money from you, I think it's appropriate to also set boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Eric calling from Virginia. What's on your mind, Eric?
Hello, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So just the last call I was saying, I think also you don't actually have to tell the problem with social media today. You don't even really have to tell how much money you make. But when you put your vacations on there, your new car, that's just ludicrous. And the problem with that is if it was just your friends and not maybe your coworkers and people that shouldn't even know your business that way, that's where it gets complicated. I don't even do social media. I've seen so many people on a job get themselves in a bragging situation where they have lost friends because of it. You're better than me. But you shouldn't be putting Jamaica on Facebook mm-hmm. and your new car every time. It's just too much business for people. And what happens with regular people that you're around, especially if they're on a job and they really make what you make, they get to asking how. There could be a lot of reasons. You're married, your credit's better, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That's just why you shouldn't. That's the wrong with social media today. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest problem. And a lot of people open doors up besides people wanting to borrow from you, bad doors, because you let people in on your business that way.
Yeah, and you can, and you certainly can be, you know, be targeted as well, Eric. Well, good point. Good point. Arsha, do you want to comment about that?
Yeah, I would only say that what he is saying is very true, but I would also take people in your circle that are kind of not wishing you well because you do have these things, that maybe it's time to reevaluate like who's around you, because other people who have all that same stuff, see, they won't be bothered by
there
when
you
get it too. And so that just means that maybe you need to step up your game and find friends that also share the same goals, who want to travel to the same places, who want to have nice cars. That way it's not so much of a thing, and there's no room for kind of hating or whatever, because you don't hate when you know that you can attain that same stuff too.
And you are, you know, you're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And so you realize that your branding, your social media footprint has a lot to do with your success.
Yes.
So how do you provide some sense of balance as an entrepreneur where you're working for yourself? You know, Sam gets a check every 2 weeks.
Very true.
But for you, you could get a check this week and maybe not one until next month unless you step up that entrepreneurial spirit. So how do you balance it?
So how I balance it is this is me personally, because I know mm-hmm. other people online kind of do it differently. If I share anything online, it will be business based for the most part. I would share more information about what I'm doing. Also trying to help other people obtain what I've obtained. And you will rarely see me post because I do go on vacation. I do buy stuff, like I do, you know, mm-hmm. but I just rarely post it on social media because I don't want you to follow me because of that.
Right.
I don't want you to kind of pine after what I have, the end result of what I have. I want you to want to work as hard as I have.
Beautiful.
And so that is the message that I push out more than the material things.
So most of the pictures of online that we see of you, you're sweating because you're working so
right.
hard.
Well,
yeah, probably. So.
Sweating.
Yeah, there you go. A perspiring. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terrell calling from D.C. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Yes. What's on your mind?
So, first of all, I want to say thank you. The conversation is very good. I was really almost kind of agreeing exactly with what Eric was saying. I think that in kind of to this point where Asha is making, being an entrepreneur myself, I understand that, yeah, there are certain things you want to maybe promote on social media. The problem is, not so much, I think I should say the problem is not so much with a lot of information. It's what we're promoting and pushing. So if the only thing that we're showing are whether it's success in terms of, the principles of success, or they're always showing is, like you said, the end result, houses, cars, whatever, trips. The problem is that It is actually how then we start socializing with other people. So we give a very, in my opinion, a very false sense of how we socialize with other people, because we socialize in this context where everything is always good. Well, if you've had friends and, real friends for, 15, 20, 25 years, then you realize, well, life ain't going to always be good. And you're going to have some good times, you're going to have some bad times, but if you look at most social media, they give you a facade of one side. So most of the people are socializing in that context. So if you are, you know, a business person, well, in business you're going to have ups and downs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you only put the ups on social media.
But and let me say this though, Robert, because I think there's another argument for that, not just about business, but about, you know, interacting online, for example. If you also are sharing the bad stuff, is that oversharing?
I would have to agree. You know, one of the things that I often look at for people that are in the limelight, you take, for example, Beyonce and Jay-Z. We understand and know their net worth, but they're very intentional about how they shape their public image. And so to that point, I think it's important to consider that, you know, we would absolutely make a statement about someone getting on social media crying, and we would assume that there's a mental instability, right? And so it's important, one, from just a social norm perspective. It's not normal for someone to get on social media. I mean, we look at one of our favorite singers most recently in the news for getting on Instagram and having a breakdown, and everyone was questioning his mental stability. And so that was looked at as weird, strange.
Yes.
And so I think it's important to recognize the society that we live in, and some things are socially normal.
Yes.
Talking about celebratory things on social media and shaping the image that people see is, I think, what's behind all of the happy moments that are portrayed.
Well, Terrell, thank you for sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Robert, calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I took a trip to Europe with a group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back, another group of friends was saying to me, oh, I didn't know you went. Oh, did you have a good time? They knew my business. I didn't want them to know that kind of business. I'm not on Facebook or anything, but when I found out, I was kind of upset. So you need to be aware of what your friends do. It was through pictures. Everybody took pictures and, you know, wanted to put that on Facebook. But you need to ask your friends, well, where is this picture going? You know, I didn't even tell my family in another part of the country that I was going, and I bet they know that I went to Europe now. Also, I happened to look at a website, and my cousin's daughter was on this site. You know, it was nothing bad, but I'm thinking, you know, did he know his daughter was there?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is kind of dangerous. Another thing, I baked a cake for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, she puts that cake up on Facebook. I get to church. I get to work. I didn't know this group of people knew each other. But people were asking me, would you bake one for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, look, people, you know, it's just be careful of what you do, because your friends may put your business out too.
Was the cake good?
Yes, it was. It was a German chocolate cake made from scratch.
Well, there you go, because now we could have Robert's German chocolate cake made from scratch.com, you know, and you start a new business there, Robert. So it may not be all bad, but I think but thank you so much. You do make, he makes this other critical point. And this is the really serious piece, and we hear police and other law enforcement officials talking about this. When you share on social media, for example, or even if you are talking at work or in other social settings, you never know who's listening. And you say, well, yes, I'm going to Europe before you go, and then people are watching you. If you post the pictures of you in Europe while you're there, people are watching your home.
Right.
And you could then become very, very vulnerable. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't often think about.
Correct. I think it's important, again, Arsha made a point earlier about recognizing You know, if you are connecting with people on social media that, you know, maybe you don't know very well, you should monitor what you're sharing. You know, again, to the point of, you know, people, the crooks have become very, very sophisticated in their approaches to how they're going to attack you or, you know, get into your home and all of that. So they have social media accounts. They have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And so it is extremely important to just be mindful of the image that you're shaping, the information you're sharing, and to not overshare. I would, you know, you when Facebook first started, you had people sharing, "Hey, I'm going to the restroom," and after the restroom, I'm going to the gym, and after the gym, you know, it just becomes, as you said, oversharing, and you really do set yourself up for failure.
Yes. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about if you're on the other end of the oversharing, how do you address that? Also, we do have some breaking news in reference to the pending government shutdown. The House has passed a short-term spending bill. Democrats say they could possibly block the measure in the Senate, so the path forward still is not clear. We will keep you updated with that information as well. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Share with us tonight.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810.
We're talking about too much information oversharing, whether you're talking about your salary, personal information, you're sharing at work, sharing with family, sharing with friends. How much is too much? Lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so let's bring that back on in here. Arsha, you were talking about...
Well, you were talking about how women are the, you know, are the constant oversharers online.
Yeah, and, you know, what I'm saying is, it seems to me that... and I'm not, I should say sharers, and sometimes oversharing, where I think, you know, single people have a tendency to share more and sometimes overshare online compared to people who are, you know, are married or in, you know, long-term, you know, relationships, where you may see single people, and I, you know, I'll take the, You know, forgive me for appearing to be this, you know, the sexist hit. I'm just saying that you see a lot of women, you know, when a guy comes up to them and he says something that's really stupid, mm-hmm. they're going to talk about it. Where I think men may be, you know, less likely to do that. This is anecdotally speaking. Yeah. I have no research to back this up. Tell me about the example that you were sharing with us.
Yeah, I said that I do think women share a lot, and just because by nature women tend to be more social and a little bit more outwardly willing to just open up.
That's what I said.
No. Didn't sound like that to me. Sound a little different when you said it.
Just a little bit. Go ahead.
Men share too. They just share in different ways, mm-hmm. and in different ways in terms of they're not online as much. And so I've noticed that on Facebook, women will share a lot. Men, they tend to kind of be the lurkers and the lookers. But when they get in the right company, whether that company is kind of their friends, they're going to the barbershop, or some people that they feel more comfortable being around, they will overshare.
Sure. Yeah. and I was just having this conversation with my brother over the holiday. And one of the things he said, and I prefer to go to a different barbershop, you know, but he prefers to go to, you know, what we would consider urban barbershop, where there is what you would consider oversharing. And for that reason, you know, he went on to say that this is a place where he takes his sons to kind of help them understand the culture. You know, they grow up in a very sheltered environment. And so this is a place for him to help, you know, learn some just, you know, fundamentals about the hood, you know,
camaraderie, interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so while some would consider it oversharing, for some people, it is a place where culture is discussed, where, you know, you talk about history and you know, different tools and tricks are passed down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I just think it's just a time and place, and because women are online and women are more vocal and visual and looking for opinions of others, it can get the perception that women do it more. And I just think men are a little bit more selective about where they are sharing.
And sometimes, you know, they may be more reticent to talk about those things that may maybe, I don't know, emotional, heartfelt, deeply concerning to them, which brings me to the next question. And I want to start this with, again, the workplace. So everybody sees, you know, Sam, and he is the, you know, the open, the sensitive, the person who always seems willing to listen. But then you have a coworker, Sam, who comes to you, and I don't mean in the capacity of, you know, the human resource guy, but, you know, the guy that he or she feels that that they can emote to. Mm. They've got an issue. And then when they begin to lay it out, and then you begin to feel, again, oh my gosh, they are really giving me a lot of personal information. Again, here's the word, balance. How do you balance being supportive with the feeling of recoiling at the the depth and breadth of the information, that is personal information this person is sharing?
It's interesting that you would ask this question. I mean, in my capacity to this very day, you know, people, what I would consider overshare, you know, in my capacity, I get phone calls early in the morning and late at night with employees just sharing information that has nothing to do with their day-to-day job.
Right.
And so what I've learned to is to set boundaries. You see two phones here because I don't want my workforce calling my personal phone. So that's one thing. Secondly, when it gets to, I start asking very pointed questions. Do you want advice? Are you looking to vent? Mm-hmm. If the person is simply looking to vent, then I politely, but firmly direct them to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, because I'm not equipped. I don't have the background to really advise them in that way, or to help them in that way. If you're looking for specific things in terms of, hey, how do I get move forward from this workplace issue to be have it be better for me, then we can talk. If we're talking personal, you know, my mom did this, my husband did that. Those are not things I advise on, that is out of my scope, above my pay grade. And so I politely direct them to qualified, certified professionals that can give them the advice that they need.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, this goes back to what I said earlier. You have this venting, for example, on social media, and you're talking to people, and then you say, what do you think asking for a friend? But sometimes I think that venting can be cathartic for some people. How do you pick and choose when, and sometimes don't you have to just, maybe you just need to talk to your pastor instead of, you know, talking to Facebook?
I agree. And I've made this comment on my own Facebook page before. And I've said, the comment is something like, I said, if you're on social media posting and you're looking for a resolution, then you vent one time and move on, you know, because everybody needs to talk to someone about something. But if you're just finding yourself venting and venting and venting, and then you have to vent to like 4 and 5 people, then you're not really looking for a solution at that point.
You're probably looking for a stand-up job somewhere or in somebody's comedy stage.
Exactly. Perhaps. You're looking for sympathy. You're looking for people to agree with you and to understand and just be a listening ear, but you're not really looking on to solve the actual problem. And so I'm very much like Sam, whereas I'm kind of very driven, and I like to know kind of what you're getting at,
right,
and and what you need from me, right, perhaps. And it needs to be things like you said that are very geared towards what you're actually doing and the service that you're providing, because I'm one of those people that don't ask me for my real opinion,
right,
because because I'm going to tell
you. It's going to be loaded.
You're not going to like what I'm going to have to say.
But is it a generational thing? Are let's say, millennials more likely to express and to share or even overshare than those than, you know, perhaps baby boomers or the mm-hmm. Generation X?
I would say I have seen we have a multi-generational workforce. And so I see the full gamut. And so you have some people depending really on their personality. So you have some older professionals that will overshare. You know, they talk about all, you know, the pregnancy issues and they go into really vivid detail. but you have some millennials who are on the opposite, you know, spectrum and will only share at so much. I do want to make a point to something you said. I have a bit of a pushback in that mm-hmm. I have an aversion to friends oversharing on social media. Mm-hmm. And even if they're looking for an opinion, for example, if I have a friend that's looking for an opinion and I see this post out there, you have a comrade of people around you. And so I'm a friend for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that being a friend is expensive, you know, be it time and resources. Mm. And so if I'm calling you a friend and you're calling me a friend and you have a problem that we've not discussed, we're going to have a discussion because social media shouldn't know that much about you. Otherwise,
let that
group of people be your friend. And you know, so I do personally have an aversion to people, my friends, oversharing on mm-hmm. social media. And I've told friends, hey, remove that post. You don't want people to know that level of detail about your life.
I would agree.
Yeah. Go ahead, please. I'll let you have the last word.
I was going to say with him is just I agree 100%. I would say most of my close friends, they don't do mm-hmm. that. You know, it's just we grew up and went to college when you didn't post your whole life on social media. I'm afraid to be judged by what I did in college. So I'm very aware of what I post and my friends, too. So but the newer friends that I've met on social media now, the rules are a little different for them.
Well, there you go. And they teach you when you're a kid, mom and dad, they always teach you how to share. Who knew that it would eventually
yes.
come to this? Listen, I want to thank both of you, Arsha Jones and Sam Sanders, for sharing with us.
Thank you tonight.
Thank you so much for talking to us. And also just a reminder about this information coming from Capitol Hill that the House has approved a stopgap measure to keep the federal government open. However, it faces some uncertain passage in the Senate. Democrats say they can block the measure. And so those politics continue to play out as we count down to the possibility of a shutdown tomorrow at midnight. That information and the very latest on the Capitol Hill negotiations will be front and center tomorrow with Taylor Thomas on the Steve Harvey Morning Show for our morning newscast. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 18th, 2018. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton.